Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
Good, Mike. How you doing?
Good. Enjoying your summer?
Yeah, great good. So far.
I know you've just gotten back from Europe. Around the world, smoking behaviors and habits vary a great deal. And even within Europe, from Northern Europe to Southern Europe, there are huge differences. We're going to talk for a moment about e-cigarettes, just it's a topic we haven't really talked about in a long time. I think that listeners know that most smoking starts during adolescence, and that what happens in adolescence often continues for years and years. It also will be no surprise that nicotine dependence is related to social and peer-related factors, and that initiation of smoking during those teen years is closely associated with persistent adult smoking. Also, it will be of no surprise that there are lots of industries, particularly the tobacco industry, that generates huge amounts of wealth by getting people hooked early in their adolescence. About 90% of adult smokers smoked their first cigarette before the age of 18, and virtually everyone started smoking before the age of 26. Preventing smoking is crucial. So along came these new guys, e-cigarettes. They're marketed to us by the same old merchants of evil, the tobacco companies. And while they started off as smaller companies, they've been acquired and now are owned by the same big guys. This time, the pitch from the tobacco companies to us is that these aren't new products. They're products that really help smokers stop smoking. These e-cigarettes, if listeners aren't aware, although it'd be hard not to be these days, are these battery-powered devices. They heat the liquid that usually contains nicotine, and it produces a vapor, and then the user inhales that vapor. Lots of uncertainty about the long-term health effects. You're going to talk to us about those in a second. We still don't know if these actually do help users stop smoking. There are new public health concerns about the effects of e-cigarettes on prevalence and their use by children as a gateway to subsequently using other combustible tobacco products. Tobacco companies want us to believe that these e-cigarettes are a modernized drug delivery system and bypass all the evils of yesteryear smoking. The question is, are they a panacea that offers a safer substitute for smokers than traditional cigarettes? So, Mark, you found an article. It was published in the New England Journal. It was published this year, 2019. It starts on page 629. It helps answer the question, are e-cigarettes an effective way to help patients quit smoking? Mark, what did they do and what did they find?
Yeah, this was really some of the best data to date on using e-cigarettes to help people quit smoking. And what they did, you know, we all wonder if that's the case. You know, we think perhaps e-cigarettes are on balance safer way to deliver nicotine, but can they really help quit smoking? And you know, certainly what are the long-term health effects? This was a trial with 884 adults in the UK, and they were recruited via social media, and they were randomized to nicotine replacement or e-cigarettes. None of them were currently using either of those approaches, and they all said they didn't care which group they ended up in. They randomized, those who got randomized to nicotine replacement could choose whether to use nasal spray or inhaler, mouth spray, gum, or patch. Those randomized to use e-cigarettes got a starter kit, and they were encouraged to experiment with different flavors and strengths, based on their personal preferences. The median age was 41, about half were women. And they were smoking a median of 15 cigarettes per day at the beginning of the study. The primary outcome was evaluated using the intention to treat principle, and which is good. And the self-reported abstinence was confirmed by carbon monoxide levels of less than 8 ppm at 1 year. So this occurred significantly more often for the e-cigarette group than the nicotine group, 18 versus 10%. So the number needed to treat for one more quitter at the end of a year was 12. But the overall quit rates were low. 18% was the e-cigarette group and 10% in the nicotine group. Short-term abstinence at 4 weeks was higher, 44% with e-cigarettes and 30% with nicotine replacement. Number needed to treat is 7. Patients in the e-cigarette group had less cough and phlegm at 52 weeks, which is good. There weren't any major differences in adverse events, but nausea was a little more common in the nicotine replacement group, and throat irritation was a little more common in the e-cigarette group. So the bottom line is, among adults who smoke a median of 15 cigarettes a day, so a little less than a pack a day, those who were randomized to get e-cigarettes were more likely to be abstinent at 1 year, number needed to treat of 12, and they had less cough and phlegm production. But I think the key point is, or a key point is, that 40% in the e-cigarette group were still using e-cigarettes at 1 year, so they were still hooked on nicotine, just not tobacco.
Is this something in primary care that we should be advising our patients, perhaps a harm reduction strategy based on this, that there is evidence that at least if they can't stop, they should be moving over to e-cigarettes?
You know, I don't know that we have enough data to be confident in that. I mean, I think my sense is that may be true. I think it, you know, I guess the way I would incorporate it is that it's an option along with gum and patches and all the other ways that we help in counseling and ways that we help patients quit smoking. I think it's one more option. It may not be right for everybody. Some patients may prefer a patch over carrying around a little, you know, device and blowing steam on everybody. Mm-hmm. So I think it's an option. I think it becomes one more option in helping people to quit smoking.
So one last question, Mark. I know that it wasn't in the article.
You said that last time, Mike. You said that last time. One more question.
Well, thanks for your information, and we'll talk next week. Can I ask one more little question?
Okay.
If we expect to follow these folks who are using these e-cigarettes longitudinally, do we expect to see a decrease in some of the adverse outcomes like emphysema and lung cancer? Are they really safer?
Well, I think there's concerns because I think, and I'm not an expert on e-cigarettes and smoking cessation. I mean, I know a little about it as a primary care physician, but I know that there is formaldehyde and other chemicals that have not been well studied. And when you ignite those chemicals and inhale the vapor, you know, that may cause its own set of harms. Certainly, a cigarette has something like, 200 different constituents and chemicals in it. And, you know, we know that cigarettes are very harmful in many ways over the long term. Whether e-cigarettes are less harmful, I suspect they probably are. But, you know, not using neither would be the preferred alternative, I think.
We'll talk again next week. Thanks, Mark.
Sounds good.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.